Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. All right, my friends, welcome, welcome, welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ and my dear friend over here, Krista Goronski. Hello, sister.
Hello. How are you? I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy that you're here, my friend. I'm going to do a little intro, and then we're going to share a little bit about who Krista is and why she's here talking to us today. So for those of you that are new to Off the Cuff, I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston, otherwise known as SDJ. And Off the Cuff is a podcast that is really intended to create some insights, maybe open your eyes a little bit, maybe your heart even a little bit more, and give you some ideas and perspectives that maybe you're not so used to. So one of my passions is getting to know people, and not only just getting to know them, but also getting to know like how they tick and why they do what they do and where they came from and how they got started and all that good stuff. And so I'm just taking you along a journey with me to get to know these beautiful souls. And Krista is one of these beautiful souls. I got to spend quite a bit of time with her last year on our
we're coming up on a reunion.
I know, right? Yes, yeah. Almost. 10 months ago, we spent a week in the Bay Area, up in Petaluma, and got to not necessarily Petaluma, all through there. What town are you actually in?
I'm in Petaluma. Healdsburg and Tahoe. We kind of got all over.
And so we got to spend a long time together. And Krista is absolutely one of the bright lights in the world, a big change maker. And that's who I'm talking to, a change maker. So let me read a little bit of your bio so that people actually that don't know you do know you. And then we're gonna dig in. All right. So Krista Goronski is a spiritual author, soul speaker, and mind-body medicine practitioner. She's written two bestsellers, Soul Purpose and Be Good, and is currently working on a third book called Heartistry and Healing. She's a founder of the philanthropic nonprofit, The Fabulous Women of Sonoma County. She and her husband, Paul, operate a sandwich shop, Mr. Pickles.
He's in there.
Petaluma, California. Her greatest love is her two sons, Frank and Vince. She is contributing author for North Bay Women's Magazine and has created a community circle called Dare to Shine. This group meets monthly to have soulful conversations about life, love, and spirituality. Welcome, Krista.
Hey, thank you so much. It's very much in line with Off the Cuff, Dare to Shine.
Yes, it is.
It is.
It is. Right? I was thinking, have you guys been doing your events online, or have you just been holding off, or have you had any in person yet, or where are you guys at?
We've done a couple of things on Zoom. Mm-hmm. Of course, I always love the feeling of being around a kitchen island with a ton of food and great drinks and just hearing the laughter and taking in the energy. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different, but I feel like we've had a few Zooms, but I miss the group. Yeah. And so do others. And I don't have to tell you that. I mean, you've had retreats canceled and, trips and it's disappointing, but I'm also understanding that it's okay. This is a time for all of us to be going inward.
Yes, yes. And it is. It is. That's a great word. It's disappointing. It's sad, and there's purpose in it all at the same time.
That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So Krista, I know like even just this interview right now, like you were kind of juggling going, I'm not quite sure if I'm going to be able to make this because you kind of got a lot going on right now. So why don't you share a little bit, because I love the love letters. Why don't you share a little bit about kind of what's happening in your life? Because I think that many people that are listening and watching either have been or will be in a similar experience. And so for you, this is, or for them, it might be new, but you might be able to give some insight here.
I'd love to. Well, and it's so interesting, as I mentioned right before we came on, there was a part of me that thought, gee, why is this podcast, something I've been looking forward to so much, happening at this particular moment. And I thought, out of courtesy, a day or two before this, I wanted to let you know that I was caregiving for, that we are not only caregiving for one parent who is on hospice, but also another who has dementia and very sad about not being with his wife. Mm-hmm. And Paul's parents have just blessed my life tremendously. So, you know, we're all jumping in and doing what we need to. That's what you do. You show up as uncomfortable as it is. And but I have to say, you know, at 2 a.m. when my mother-in-law went into the hospital, 2 a.m, I was driving up the freeway to go be with my father-in-law. And my prayer was, I know I'm supposed to be used in some form of service at this time. Mm-hmm. And so just let me know how that's supposed to work out, shake out. Right. Because I've seen the decline of my father-in-law and not being able to retain things and feeling the separation anxiety from his wife. And so I just knew that I would at least be able to comfort him. And it's turned out to be so much more, son. Yeah. Yeah. And when I said I felt an invitation to be called to service, I mean, I know that's what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And because of COVID, my mother-in-law said that at this time in the world, it's been like the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. COVID, nobody's been able to support them. They've been in a lockdown situation to maintain the health and safety guidelines. And yet, for my mother-in-law to be caring for a 90-year-old man with dementia, mm-hmm. the toll was tremendous. Yeah. And so, you know, and it's so sad that it took, you know, her to have an event in an emergency situation with her own health to step out in those circumstances and for me to step in and for our family to step in this way. But, you know, I mean, we're never prepared for losing anyone who's close to us. I went through a similar situation where my father had dementia, so it didn't necessarily scare me. I know there's blessings mm-hmm. in those final moments. And I have to say, my father-in-law, he's just the sweetest man. And when I would take him to hospital appointments, he'd say, you know, it's almost time for me to graduate. And I thought that was just a really beautiful way
yeah.
to depict this time in his life when he feels like really kind of sad because he's lost his independence, his, you know, his memory and different things. On some level, he knew exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
And in other moments, has no idea what's happening. It's really a strange, you know, it's really strange to see that dynamic unfolding.
It is. It's challenging because, you know, my grandmother on my mom's side had dementia, Alzheimer's, and she could have moments of clarity and then just not. And it was so fascinating to witness. And at the same time, you know, I often would ask spirit, okay, let me see the bigger picture of this. And what I kind of discovered was, you know, they got one foot in each world.
Yes.
And
that's really what's happening.
Yes. And it's pretty amazing to watch that as much as we feel like we're losing them and they're slipping away, they're just slipping in too. Mm-hmm. And then they come back a little bit and you're like, oh, there you are.
Exactly.
And it's this pull, right? This push pull. And our hearts are like, oh my God, they don't know me. Oh yes, they do. Oh, they, and it's hard for us physically here because we witness that and we see so much sadness and loss of them. And at the same time, they're experiencing freedom. And so that mm-hmm. it's really a complicated, interesting process.
It is complex. It's filled with lots of blessings, though. I am seeing that. Yeah. It's so interesting. I shared with you that because they can't really speak, my mother-in-law suggested that I make the decision on whether or not she should connect with him. And I said, well, how about you send a love note mm-hmm. and I'll read it to him. You know, and although the retention isn't there, in the moment, he's completely present mm-hmm. and their souls are so connected. It's so amazing. So I saw this going back and forth. We've done like probably like, you know, 8 to 10 love letters back and forth of these messages of him, you know, her saying that I love dancing with you. Thank you so much for, you know, being the love of my life. And he said, when I met you, you know, it became the greatest romance of all time. And, you know, just to, I got like goosebumps.
I just did too.
I get goosebumps because to be able to witness this release, you know, the closure happening in such an interesting way, but it's still happening. It's just like when we jump on Zoom, remember, you know, nobody did Zoom. And right. Now all of a sudden we're all doing Zoom and we thought how it couldn't possibly be very intimate. How can you connect with people? And yet you do. It's just a new way of expressing ourselves and allowing it to be there and say, okay, I'm going to just see what this feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're so used to doing it a certain way. And, you know, that's one of the things that I've been being reminded of. And Spirit has reminded me many times is when you can't do what you do what you can.
Right.
And there's things that we can't do the way that we were, but there are things we can do. So we do what we can. And I think the love notes, I just love, I bet, God, how many of you just got goosebumps? I mean, really, like such a beautiful experience and such a great reminder. And because you're such a writer, and I tell you that every time you write something, I'm always like, oh my God, you're such a great writer. Like this gal, you guys, if you haven't written any of her, where even just her posts on Facebook are so, there's so much depth and heart and information and then artistry. There's message throughout it and imagery as well. And so you definitely want to go and like Krista's page because she puts out some beautiful, beautiful work.
So I want to bring it back to the first time I went to your mind body spirituality certification. That was just really the beginning for me when I jumped on a plane and decided that I was called to go take that course with you. And I can remember being in the room and you said, how many of you are psychic? And I kind of like looked around. It was a pretty intimate group, maybe like 11 of us. And maybe a couple raised their hand. And she says, well, how many of you are intuitive? And I'm like, okay, I can buy into that. That I'm intuitive, right? And but I just remember you breaking it down in a new way for me to really understand how messages are downloaded to us in so many different ways, whether it's sensory or it's coming through our writing, you know, it's feeling, it's seeing things. And I just, I feel like my writing went to the next level when I embraced that because I always felt called to write about the human experience. Mm-hmm. What are we feeling? What is the lesson? And a lot of that is because when I started Fabulous Women and we were doing philanthropy and we were helping families with extraordinary hardship, I'm talking about people who lost their children to, you know, there was tragedy, there was illness, and it's so much to just wrap your head around. Mm-hmm. And I kind of prayed about it. And I was asking God, am I writing this down for myself to process or, you know, and I'd never thought about becoming an author. And what I realized is that I was like a conduit for these charity events that were happening. What started out as 30 women in my living room turned into several thousand. And we were having events where it was all different ages and a cross-section of the entire community. And we had business owners and, you know, you had law enforcement and the mayor show up and kids and church groups. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is grassroots. And I just felt like I wanted to capture the moment of what I was feeling and what was a lesson we were learning, even though somebody had gone through something harrowing, their worst moment.
Yeah.
It wasn't to glorify, it was to say that love and hardship can all be existence at the same time. And a lot of times we just think it's one or the other. It's either good or it's bad.
Right.
And so for me, I realize that both can coexist. Mm-hmm. And when you have this amazing reason for coming together, which really is about our humanity. It's showing up, it's helping people, whether it's, you know, physical hardship, financial hardship, they've lost a loved one, that I can show up with just an open heart, and that's as valuable as anything else. And that there's just, again, I just wished that I could box up the energy. Mm-hmm. And so the way I tried to box up the lessons and the energy was through my writing. Yeah. And that took off. And so when I embraced that, then more messages just kept getting downloaded in a really profound way. A lot of the messages are really a lot of the lessons that you're sharing through Elevate. Mm-hmm. A lot of these messages are, you know, coming from all ends now. Now that I'm kind of open myself up to this spirituality and this role as a writer and as a teacher, it's just, it's really fantastic. I feel blessed and really humbled a lot of the time. I'll read something back and I go, oh shit, how did I know that?
I love that. You're like, ah, that's not too bad.
Where did that come from? And I'm just like, I'm moved by it because I know it's coming from a higher place.
Right. Right.
And it's humbling. It's humbling.
Well, so one of the things that you just said, I just want to make sure everybody got this because I'm always talking about this and I think that it gets missed a lot, is you can have good and bad. You can have right and they both can exist. It doesn't have to be, we don't live in a this or that world. We live in a very robust, there's so much and there's so many things that are existing at the same time.
And I'll be honest with you, I feel like people have lost touch with that right now with what we're doing. It's either you're with me or you're against me.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of sadness that I have around that. So I continue to write about humanity. I continue to write about community, inclusion, hardestry. Hardestry is really the essence of who we are. It's really another way, another statement of our spirituality. It's the recognition that, you know, of a source or spirit greater than ourselves, and knowing that compassion and humanity are why we are here. Right. Everything else is really a fucking distraction. And I was telling Peach, it's so funny. My best girlfriend, we talk a lot about life and workshops and what can we do to share a positive message for what the world is going through. And I was just saying, you know, Peach, the fact that we are now comfortable walking around the world and seeing people with masks, but we've had those masks on for years. I mean, you know, because there's a part of us that, you know, we come into this world and we are love, right? But now we need to fit into this world that has all these biases and belief systems, and socially we're trying to fit in. And in some ways, it compromises a part of ourselves. Yeah. And so really, you know, if we're aware of that and we can get back in touch with what, instead of what's going on up here and all the chaos and the news and the sadness, and get back to our heartistry, which is really our innate goodness. Right. That's what I believe the big message is right now. And I know you have to go through the really yucky stuff to actually have some sustainable change, right? We've got to really, you know, go through it. We're going through the mud right now.
We're digging in. I call it the birth canal. The birth canal is your canal, right? And although I had babies through C-section, so I don't know, but I'm just remembering, imagining that it hurts like hell and it's messy and it's painful. And then the gift and then the blessing and then the new life. And if we don't go through that, then, and we just stop halfway through, there is no new life. It has to go all the way through. So we have to go through the entire process. Does it have to be as nasty and ugly as it is? I don't think it does.
No.
But as human beings that have suppressed lots and lots of anger and judgment and finger pointing for so long, this is the way that they're getting it out. And they, meaning lots of people, not one particular they, like all across the board. And ultimately the bottom line is that it's going to be love that pulls us back together.
And I'm with you, sister. And I'm calling it heartistry. And, you know, I like, and it was funny because somebody says, well, what are you doing in the world? Like, you're doing some cool things. What is it? And I go, well, dang, what do I call it? Like, I was really just trying to sit with it. I'm like, well, maybe spirit will give me, you know, some sort of name. Because when we started Fabulous Women, these, you know, I started doing charity. We didn't name ourselves. The universe did, because the newspaper would write about these events, these charitable gatherings where we were giving and we were educating ourselves and doing good for the community. And so then the paper would say, oh, look, those Fabulous Women are up to it again. And so I'm like, wow, I'm not going to change that.
Right. Right. They're running name for
you. And I don't even know that I had a real clear sense of my relationship, my, you know, to really connect with that at the time. It's really been a spiritual unfolding, much of which started, and I always give Shanda Troth complete credit for my just the joy and the tribe and the spiritual education that I've got, because as all these events were happening and I started writing about it, and I really asked God, is this for me or is it for the world? And I did one of those vision boards, and I go, I'm going to write a book. And I was like, wow, I didn't know I was going to do that. And literally like a day, it might've been a day or two, Shanda Trove's message comes across my Facebook page, says, do you want to write a book? And I was like, wow, shit, I just said that.
That's how that works, guys.
And it opened up a brand new community, just another level of spiritual education for myself. It gave me permission to not only do what I was doing, you know, with philanthropy, but to create a community locally where I could have these soulful conversations and we could grow together. Mm-hmm. I would say to myself, you know, when I go on her writing retreats and we would go see you and Sedona, or I'd do these workshops, and I'd say, well, why do I need to get on a plane? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm surrounded by amazing women, you know, and so that gave me the inspiration to come home after I saw you in Sedona with Melissa, Jody, and Shanda. And I said, I'm going to start something right now. And it's really been amazing.
And that's exactly how it works. And I hope that there's so many of you, I hope, that are listening, that if you've got that desire in your heart, if your spirit is igniting something within you that says, hey, there's something that you can do. There's something you can offer. There's a way you can be of service. You might not know what it is, and you may not know how to do it, but when you step in, it shows up, just like Krista said. So she said, I'm going to write a book. And then she gets a message about this. Do you want to write a book? And then, and the writer's retreat, I'll never forget the experiences that we had on the writer's retreat. I think we had to tell that story because that's a fun
story. Okay, that's my first one in Florida meeting you.
Yeah, that was a fun story.
That's a great story. Mm-hmm. So my very first, Shanda's doing a workshop in Florida, Florida Keys. And I tell my husband, I really think I'm supposed to do this. I'm called to do it. I'm going to take a trip to Florida by myself. First time I've ever done that.
Which is great.
And I end up, I talked to Katrina Elkins online, and now we're meeting at an airport. So now I'm rooming with this woman I've never met. We're driving to Florida, and we arrive and we go straight to the tiki bar, and there is a party boat out in the middle of the bluest water, and people are screaming on the party boat, and I'm like, who the hell's that? Right. And somebody says, like, we need more cocktails or beer or whatever it is. And this little mermaid jumps out. She goes, I'll get it. She dives off and goes in and goes get all the alcohol, drives back, goes right back to the boat. I'm like, shit, I think that's our teacher. That's amazing. I go, you know, because I'll be honest. And here's another, like, put a pin in it. Prior to that, you know, I've always been a leader in some way. I never really considered myself a spiritual teacher or, you know, a healer. And I would never call myself that. allow myself to have that because I said I couldn't possibly reach an audience. I wear baseball caps and ripped jeans. Who could possibly take me seriously, you know? And I think the Sonny who was in the, you know, the big blow up, I don't know, even know, it's like a party boat. You're in a party boat and having just the time of her life. And then you came in and we started the workshop and you put on a different hat. And I was like, wow, you can really be both. You don't have to choose. Again, it's not one or the other. I can be me. And, you know, I can say fuck once in a while. And, you know, I can cry. I can lose it. I can have bad days. I can have, you know, days where I'm so inspired and I feel like I've, you know, have some grace and eloquence. And then other times, you know, it doesn't come across all neat and clean. And so I love that. On that trip, I got permission to be me. Mm-hmm. It was good. Well,
and I think when you told me that story, because I didn't know that
was perspective on my head. I'm right. Like, oh, shit, we just spent all this money to come out here. And these are our teachers. It was good.
Isn't that a great point, though? Also, that, you know, a lot of times we have one perspective and we look at that and we go, oh, okay, well, that can't possibly be the spiritual guide that's written books, that teaches like that. That couldn't possibly be having fun, being lighthearted, playing, having a drink. You couldn't possibly do that and be this person over here. And I think that happens so often. And it's, you know, it's a very normal thing that so many people do. And when we start to realize, hey, you know what? We're just being who we are. And aren't we meant to be in joy? Whatever joy is for you, you know, and expand from that space instead of in the space of comparison or judgment.
Well, and it's so interesting because I think prior to that trip, I really misunderstood. I associated religion mm-hmm. with spirituality.
Yes.
And there is such a big difference, right? You have organized religion and you've got these rules and how they operate and, hierarchies and, you know, and I realized that it's different than saying I'm spiritual.
Right.
And I'm not sure even the world gets it at this time.
Yeah, not always.
And not always. Not always. There's a lot of confusion around that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I made space for that in my life, I felt like the teachers showed up. Yeah. All the teachers I met Emmanuel, I, you know, went away again with you to Sedona and different people have just shown up and really enlightened me in a whole new way. So, even Liz Dawn participating in CYL, that's mm-hmm. been, you know, a wonderful influence for me as well. You know, you start to all of a sudden realize, like when you surround yourself, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden you just, you know, bag all your friends.
Right.
But when you get called to service and spirituality, you just become more thirsty for even more information, more. I want to know more. Yeah. I want to go deeper.
Yeah.
Because you start to see that there's less resistance in your life, more flow.
Yeah.
You know, and you have just a really deeper perspective for when things aren't going well, whether it's in the world or whether it is a, you know, personal hardship, such as, you know, caregiving,
yes.
helping your loved ones, getting ready to graduate and transition, mm-hmm. that's, it's so helpful, you know, because there's all these feelings around, Peach and I, we did a class for mind, body, medicine all around, spirituality. And we said, calming the storm. There, I don't know if people are aware of it, but like spirituality, there's different emotions associated with it, you know, because you've been doing it for years, yep. But if it's okay, I'll tell the,
yeah, please. Absolutely.
What they are. So really it's a sense of wonder. It's love, compassion, forgiveness, joy, equanimity, which is really just a sense of peace. And awe and compassion. And so when I say I'm spiritual, it's because I feel that that is of great priority in my life. And when things aren't going well, or when things are going along beautifully, that I can experience the full range of emotions now because I've opened myself up in a really beautiful way. As I said, I don't think I would have really gone to that next level if I didn't jump on that first, or not the one in Florida. That was fun. But when I went and I participated in mind body spirituality class with you, you know, 3 days of intense, really look at ourselves, mm-hmm. and get in touch with our survival patterns, start to look at what is attachment in our life, to be able to do that. And then to translate those message of what's happening in the world really is so helpful. Yeah. It's so helpful. There's so much more peace in that. And, you know, I'm somebody who had a lot of survival patterns growing up, and the new book that I'm doing, it's called Heartistry and Healing. And I was telling Peach, I wanted a tagline for it. Right. And after spending this week with my mother-in-law and father-in-law in this situation, the tagline is the greatest love story ever told. Mm, and it's because heartistry is really like who we really are. But you're going to have to do some digging and do some self-healing to figure out like what are some of the painful events in your life, some of the trauma you're still carrying around, and work through that to really shift it, as you said, transmute that energy, mm-hmm. into service, into a whole nother energy, right? So the lower vibration is you're in survival mode, my life sucks, there's fear, there's separation, there's all that really negative.
Which a lot of people are in right now.
Right.
If they weren't in it, they're being triggered and it's coming up right now, right? It's
coming from everywhere, particularly the news. Mm-hmm. And so, that's why I say, and you say it all the time, just turn it off. It doesn't mean you don't have to be well-informed.
Right.
But you don't have to allow that to dictate, your energy and who you are in the world. Right. But there's a lot of yeah, I say yucky energy, but shame, guilt, mm-hmm. codependency. There's a lot associated with that whole survival mode.
Yes.
And survival, our fight or flight, it serves us, right? Mm-hmm. We're blessed that we have that response, that if something, I'm jogging or doing a hike and a snake goes on the path and I have that survival response. But when we stay in it, right? We're not supposed to stay in it.
Right.
It's just, we're supposed to respond. Are we going to fight or flight? And then we go down, homeostasis, you go back to balance, right? Well, everybody is in this fight or flight right now, and they're off the charts with stress, anxiety, depression, all these things that they're feeling physically in their body. And so I feel like this next book is really about giving some mind-body medicine tools, some specific tools that will help calm the nervous system down. How do you work through some sort of physical problem, symptom, or issue going on in your life where I'm not relying on somebody outside of myself? I realize that there's an inner guide ready at all times, mm-hmm. to give me advice. Right. But we've been conditioned so much to look for answers outside of ourselves that most of us aren't even aware of what we can do, whether it's coloring, whether it's movement, meditation. I really feel like this book is not just this is my opinion. This is my experience, that there's actually specific tools, mm-hmm. that will help people kind of look at what has been heavy in their lives and shift it, right? So that it all of a sudden becomes, they can speak to that event or whatever happened from a place of gratitude.
So what would you say, Krista, right now? Like we were talking about the fight or flight. We're saying there's so many people that are really stuck in that energy. What tool or tools, maybe you have a couple, would you suggest for some? Because I know there's people that are listening right now that have said, oh my gosh, I just feel so depressed. Or like I was just doing a thing right before I jumped on here with my Elevate community. And people are like, you know, I feel so overwhelmed. I feel hopeless. You know, there's a lot of feelings. So what's one or two tools that you would suggest for people if they're in that place?
It's funny you're saying this, because last night I got an email from a woman saying, I thought you were going to do a mind body medicine group, you know, at this time. And she goes, I guess it's canceled. And you could feel her pain in the email. I'm having such a hard time. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. And I was not in a great space last night. And I thought to myself, take a moment and really give her some specific tools, because we probably won't do live groups until the fall, maybe, or maybe not till next year. Mm-hmm. So I suggested soft belly breathing. So that's when you give yourself permission to get to a chair, feet on the floor, back, you're supported, that you close your eyes or, you know, a soft gaze, and you give yourself, you know, permission to breathe in through the nose. It's almost like a slow motion breathing, like when you blow out a birthday cake. So it's, you know, and that soft belly breathing, if you imagine or say to yourself soft as you breathe in and belly as you breathe out, you are giving the rest of your body permission to soften. So that's the first thing. And that is the number one thing from people participating in the classes saying, that the soft belly breathing has been the most helpful, because they can do it anywhere, anytime, and nobody has to know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Getting out of the space of inside your house and going and taking in some nature, or doing getting some movement. Right. They do this whole thing around shaking and dancing, which, you know, it seems like, you know, you're literally doing this, but emotions, fear, you know, that energy gets trapped. Yeah. So literally shaking. And here's a really interesting one, is if you get a sheet of paper out and some crayons or a couple markers, it doesn't matter, but you can draw yourself with your biggest problem right now. And so it's not, you know, you want to be careful about saying to yourself, you know, oh, I'm not a good drawer, or be self-critical or judgmental. It's really that you give yourself 5 to 6 minutes, draw yourself with your biggest problem. So if I, like, you know, Peach and I, we did a class recently, Calming the Storm, and we asked people to draw what they were feeling in relationship to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, it is really telling, because people are able, you know, you use the other side of your brain, but also people were able to get out emotions on paper. They were able to identify how that emotion was manifesting into physical tension, mm-hmm. or belly aches or migraines, or, you know, whatever it was. And I thought, you know, gosh, it's such a simple tool.
Yeah.
And it's so telling. Now, on the same note, you can do the next drawing, which is draw yourself with your problem solved. And that's where your intuition, your higher guidance comes through and will give you a message. You can do that with the journaling. So if, you know, whatever it is, whether it's a physical symptom within your body, like I tend to break out in rashes. I think I've told you that before. And really it's about what is irritating me. Yep. What am I not talking about or trying to do all by myself? You know? So you can talk to back pain. What is it about that? Maybe it's like not having support in your life. So there's going to be some themes that come through where you start to see what is, you know, the conflict, and then how that is being manifested into your body, and get in touch with the emotions. And it's powerful. These are simple. Like, you can do these with children.
Yeah.
You know, and the program that we went through was so amazing, Sunny, because it came in response to the fires. Mm-hmm. So when Sonoma County was on fire, and, you know, and every year it's just, we're going to be in that state of emergency, right? Because of the way the environment is, And so each year we kind of brace ourselves. But what happened was when the fires, they had collected a ton of money, like, let's start rebuilding neighborhoods. But they also understood, what about all these people who are experiencing trauma? Mm-hmm. Now, here's something amazing, amazing, amazing. I was doing Fabulous Women. You know, I have my full-time job, but Fabulous Women full-time. And I was really resistant when God started telling me, like, it's time for you to let it go. I'm like, how could you even ask me to do that? Like, I was mad. You know, Spirit's telling me it's time to let it go. How could I possibly do that? Look at all the good we're doing in the world and everything. But I needed to let it go to make space for something else. Mm-hmm. Because now I had accepted my, you know, my role. It started. Yep. It's a nonprofit. Other people are involved. They can run it. Now it's time for you to go do something else. But I was really so resistant to that. But after the fires and after your mind, body, spirit, spirituality certification, I came back and resigned. And I cried for a year about it. It was horrible. It was horrible. And yet I realized, yeah, sometimes we have to let something go in order to create space for something new.
Yeah. So, and that's actually self-care too. That's actually taking care of yourself by creating that space.
So here's the other thing, and I kind of alluded to it when I saw you here with your Elevate team. Letting that go was so hard, but I realized there was another voice telling me, you're hiding behind this group. Mm-hmm. Because in that role, I could be the giver.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a fucking giver. It's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, we were able to do amazing things.
Yeah.
But I realized that I could not sit still. I had to always be doing something, and I couldn't receive at all. Mm-hmm. And so it was so interesting because my husband, he races these cars. When I started getting the nudges after your class, okay, you got to release it. I didn't want to. Got on a plane to go to Italy for a bucket list. And I told my son, I go, I'm having this horrible panic attack. I've never had anything like this ever. I had this feeling like, what would it be like if you lost everything, right? Because now Paul and I are in another country. What if you lost your sons, your work, your home, everything? So I get on the plane and I start writing for 2 hours about this feeling of what that would be like. Of this purging in our life, and you're just left with yourself. I get to Italy, and I want to tell my son I got there safely, not to worry about mom. She just had a little panic attack. She's good. And so I was in Florence. I had a glass of wine. I'm ready to call him. I'm like, I'm listening to church bells. It's fantastic. And so I pull up my phone, and Sonoma County's on fire.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know when that happened.
And so I was sitting there. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do nothing. Mm-hmm. I can't be the helper. I can't jump into action. I have to just be with myself right now.
Yeah.
And so I got the courage. I got the courage when I came home to let go. Here's a funny story. Is my sister said, listen, when you go to Italy, you got to go to the top of this beautiful mountain and you see the thousands of sunflowers. You love sunflowers. I go, oh, I love sunflowers. It's going to be amazing. And so I start hiking up. It's like 2 miles up this hill. And I am grieving for what's going on in my town. My parents were like brought to a church at 2 a.m. with their pills and their phone. I mean, I'm just like feeling so helpless. I'm like, God, why am I here? I start hiking up this mountain. Every 500 feet, there's another station of the cross, and I would sit. And I'm like, God, this is like some crazy pilgrimage. I'm like, so I go to the very top, and I'm like, I have got to see those sunflowers. And so I pay the extra money. I get up there. I'm coming to terms with releasing a Fabulous Women, releasing that I can't be that person to try and do everything. Mm-hmm. I got to give to myself. I need to just be just be.
Yeah.
And I get to the top, to the very top, and I pay the extra euro, and I go out to the lookout point, and there are thousands and thousands of sunflowers, and they're all burnt black. As it was like the wrong time of year.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, that's a sign, right? And I was, but you made it.
So, and you know what? Those burnt sunflowers, I don't know, it was just more telling. It gave me more information that it's okay. There's something dying and growing at the same time. Mm-hmm. So,
yes, death always leads to a rebirth in some form.
Oh, it's sure. Yeah. This, the space I'm in right now, I feel so good. Things don't go as fast as you want. Whether it's writing a book or, gee, I'd love to get in front of people and inspire them, you know, with speaking. It never happens as fast. But then I look in these, just really these small little vignettes of our life, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's at Mr. Pickles and I meet some, you know, little family that comes in every Wednesday and I'm able to like do some, you know, be with them in a meaningful way, or the situation with family or neighbors. And so I'm really trying to release any attachment around what the success of all this work is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and try to enjoy it. And I'm realizing that, you know, I have a lot of gratitude for you, really. I really have a lot of gratitude for you. Yeah. Just the lesson of letting go. And it's all unfolding as it should. And I'm a different woman than I was when I met you in Florida. When we were kayaking and paddleboarding with crocodiles.
Yeah. And that was a great time too.
I don't know that it was.
Well, I thought it was, but you know, after our rescues, it wasn't as much fun.
Well, and for you, just for anybody who is listening, we were with Shanda, Melissa, you know, Melissa and Shanda's husband. There were so many beautiful, Vicki Mitchell. I mean, there were some really beautiful people on that trip. Katrina, we're all, you and Shanda decided it's a great idea to go paddleboarding and kayaking at like 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And the girl who was our lead, she's on the phone on her paddle boat and we're in the dark and Vicki and I are swearing in the boat saying, whose idea was this? What are we doing? This is ridiculous. And then they start taking us, right? It's like a 2-hour little jaunt.
The 3-hour tour.
And several kayaks go down where they're stuck in the middle of that mangrove in underwater. And you go back to go save them.
And it was me and Robin. Me and Robin were there and we went and saved them.
I'm like, what in the hell are we doing? And when we finally get back and everybody's safe and we put people in different boats and, you know, it's dark. I'm pissed. I think we should get a refund. And then you get out of the water and you're like, well, that's fun. We made it back. And I'm like, I'm just kind of pissed at you. But I think for you, you like exposure therapy. So you're like, hey, what are you in touch with? I'm like, oh my goodness. I did. It's like one of my favorite stories, but when I was in it, I wasn't happy.
Well, and the reality of it is we did a little prayer afterwards and we did a little thank you for keeping us safe. Cause we all, and we really did. We had two boats that sank and three of the four people that sank had water trauma. So it was very serious. It wasn't a joke. There was no fucking around. It was dead serious at the time. But when we got through it all, like, okay, you know what? That there was healing in that for many people, even though it was traumatic in a lot of ways. And so it's just finding the gratitude. And sometimes so it's kind of like when somebody makes a joke about something, they're like, is it too soon? And you're like, yeah, it's too soon, right? The gratitude sometimes can be too soon. Too soon right now, Sonny. Hey, girl, I've got a couple questions I want to ask you just to kind of wrap it up. And I did put, so you've got a special gift. Tell me a little bit about your gift. Cause I just put it right here. You guys, you can go to that link and get it.
Well, with everything happening in the world, So much of our self-care is really just about being with our emotions. When Peach and I did Calming the Storm with our mind-body medicine, I said that I really wanted to pray about putting together a letter for the people in our class. And what happened was I went and prayed about it, and it was as if God was telling me what to write. So it's a letter from the universe, but it's all about self-love. A lot of it about the heaviness that is going on, maybe narratives of not being enough.
Yep.
Really about embracing more of our joy, listening to our inner child that wants to play, and just being giving ourselves permission to have our emotions. And I read it and I can't believe I wrote it because it didn't come from me.
Right.
It came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So that is for anybody who's listening, because I feel like we need some positivity right now.
Yes.
A lot of people who have read it, they're like, oh my God, I taped it up to my bathroom mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's beautiful, my friends. So if you go to this link, or if you just want to wait about 24 hours, we will have the podcast up. And so you can go to this link and you will see the podcast actually right on my page. And then you will see the link right below that you can just click on to grab it. So it is, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yep. Thank
All
you.
Right. So to wrap up, I'm just going to ask you a couple of fun off the cuff questions.
Fantastic.
Okay. First one is, what's something about you that most people don't know?
Something. You know, I'm pretty social, but I love being by myself with my dog, and writing is my favorite thing to do. I have to do it or I feel like the day isn't complete for me. And that's like really my spiritual time.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I love that dog too. What's his name?
Oh, it's Nala, but the older one you met, he passed away.
Oh. So,
yeah. Okay. But my little dog.
Okay. Nala. All right. Next thing, what is something that you use? And I know you just said writing, so you can't use that one. What is something you use every single day that you can't live without?
Well, is it good for me or not good for me?
I don't care. This is awesome.
I love coffee in the morning. I like wine in the evening. And I like, you know, I like my family time.
Okay. Beautiful. And what is a defining moment for you? And in any part of your life, what is just one thing that was a defining moment?
Okay. I know what that is. I was always a fan of Oprah Winfrey. And my sister, it was 1998. She bought me a ticket. We went to San Francisco, a conference center. And I had just given birth to my son. I showed up with a Medela, a double breast pump, because I was so excited to hear her. And her big message there was, what are you going to do what is your gift? And how will you use it for service?
Mm.
Planted the seed in a way that I'd never heard it before. Because I knew I want to be a good person. I want to be a good mom. You know, the basic things. But no. What is it that you're good at?
Mm-hmm.
And what does the world need? And how will you use that? And I realized, well, I love bringing people together. I love to party. But, you know, it didn't take shape right away. What she said is, if you're not sure, go home and pray about it. Mm-hmm. And that somehow gave me permission to start enlisting higher guidance. Now, what you may or may not know, Sunny, is that when Oprah went off the air and Fabulous Woman had taken off and it went from 30 to several thousand and she was leaving the air after 25 years, I was really sad because I thought there's nobody right now in the world who has that voice talking about it. Angel Network, talking about, this is before I knew you, by the way, Angel Network and, you know, charity, and just was really kind of off the cuff in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so interesting because I saw Marla Steele. I met Marla Steele and she says, she did a Reiki reading and she said, I have my sprays. Which one are you drawn to? And I said, well, I like this prosperity spray. And she says, well, what are you inviting in your life? I said, well, you know, I've got all this goodness happening with this group and my community. I said, Oprah's leaving the air. I just really want to meet her and say thank you. She goes, here, take this home. Offer the intention daily. I go home and I changed my password on my computer to Oprah16. And I started doing the prosperity spray. 2 weeks later, I get invited to the Oprah Winfrey Show. And nobody believes that because that's so crazy, right? And it was just, it was such a full circle moment.
And that's beautiful. And that's the way it works. Manifestation right there. That's a perfect example of it.
Yeah, it was great. That's so awesome. Anyhow, I would say, you know, I love following Oprah under her Redwoods and her Super Soul Sunday. But for me, I have more of a friendship with you. I have more, you know, community with you. And I love that that's a part of my daily life. Mm-hmm. And so, and I'm trying to provide that for others. You know, sure. I don't pretend to be you, Oprah, or anybody, but just to provide space for these soulful conversations, to be with whatever is. Mm-hmm. And it's really the best.
And you do that so well, sister. You do that so well. And that's what I hope everybody's taking from this is you don't have to be anybody else. Just be you and you being you, me being me, Krista being Krista, Oprah being Oprah, like we all are doing our part in just showing up for humanity. And that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Tapping into that artistry.
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. All right, my friend, thank you so very much. I appreciate you being here with me again, guys. If you want to find Krista, you can go to her website. Krista, your website is?
www.kristagoronski.com.
All right. And you can grab her on Facebook again.
You know what? I would love it if people want to join Dare to Shine because the conversations continue.
There you go. So tell them where to go.
Oh, well, how about I'll post it? But I think it's Dare to Shine 16 on Facebook.
Okay, perfect. And you guys go to her Facebook page because you want to see her posts. Her posts are definitely worth reading. They're beautiful.
I want to have at least 20 more friends.
That's right. That's right. Definitely, definitely. All right. So real quick. Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, darling. Mwah.
Yeah.
Okay, my friends. So I did say that we were going to also announce the winners for Terrapalooza. So we have a winner that we chose. So we did a little contest yesterday for Terrapalooza, and you had to do a few things in order to get a ticket. And so the winner is, and you had to be watching. So the person that wins has to watch. So don't leave yet. So hang on. I got to go look and see what my message said because now I can't remember the name. All right. It's not it. Okay. So the winner is Kathy Hyland. Kathy Hyland.
All right.
Won the ticket. Actually, she lives right down the street from me. Kathy, you have won the ticket to Terrapalooza, as long as you're on right now and you tell us that you're here. Otherwise, I got to go to the second person. So I do have a secondary just in case the first one is
come
not.
Come on, Kathy. Live.
Come on, Kathy.
Come on, put it in the chat. Come on, girl.
I just saw you in our Elevate community. There she is.
See?
All right, Kathy. Okay. You've won the ticket, my friend. So shoot me a message and I will, or an email, and I'll get the information to you. For those of you that don't know, we have Terrapalooza this weekend. It is a full weekend event. So it's Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And there is going to be a variety of different teachers teaching how to use Oracle cards. I'm going to be talking about connecting with spirit and angels, and it's going to be a fantastic weekend. And if you are interested in coming and joining, my sweet friends at Terrapalooza gave me the ability to give you guys a 15% discount. So just use the code SUNNY15, SUNNY15, and you get 15% off your tickets. So come and join us. It's going to be fantastic. I'm so excited. Awesome. Krista, thank you, sister.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you, darling. Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend.